Good morning. I'll call to order the meeting of the Senate Education Committee for this, the second session of the 26th Alaska Legislature. It is February 19th and approximately 8:05 a.m. In attendance today are Co-Chair Meyer, Vice Chair Davis, and Senator Stevens, and myself, Co-Chair Thomas. Both Senator Huggins and Senator Olson are away for business, so they are excused, but we do have a quorum to conduct business. Purpose of the meeting today is to finish hearing SB 213, an act providing for funding for school lunches and breakfast, and to continue hearing testimony on SB 224, a bill establishing post-secondary scholarships. We took up this bill on Wednesday, but there was not a current fiscal note. We have received a current fiscal note, which you have before you today. Probably have more than one copy.
Thanks.
I believe everybody has that, do we? It is the CS for SB 213 fiscal note. Let's see. Are there any questions or comments? Let's see. Before we do that, we need to have an explanation of the bill itself, if we're prepared for that, and then we'll get to the fiscal note. I don't know if there, if Senator Wilikowski, you and your aide would like to come forward and just breeze over it again, since we did already hear it. I'm not sure if there's anything else you want to express to us regarding it, or any questions that came up that you thought needed to still be answered from the previous hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Good morning. For the record, my name is Bill Wilikowski. I'm State Senator for Northeast Anchorage and here with my staff member, George Ascott. As you mentioned, we do have a fiscal note that we got. It's actually reduced fairly significantly from what the previous one was. The bill basically provides a state match for school lunches and breakfasts. For every free and reduced price breakfast the federal program funds, the state will match 35 cents for every lunch. The federal program funds, the state will match 15 cents. And Alaska is one of the very few states in the country that doesn't have some sort of state match for this federal breakfast and lunch program. So happy to answer any questions, and I'll stop right there.
Okay. You have a question, Senator Stevens.
Senator, I had a note from our last discussion that Eddie Jean said that he felt it should be put in the proper place in the statute. Has that been corrected or changed?
Yeah. Senator Stevens, for the record, my name is George Ascott, staff to Senator Wilikowski. I have spoken to Eddie Jeans. He actually has an amendment that we will be discussing to bring up in the next committee.
And not we're not dealing with what you're saying, or
it's yeah, it's up to you. We have no objection to doing what Mr. Jeans proposed. It does have a further referral to finance. If you would prefer to do it here, we're happy to do it wherever the committee feels it's most appropriate.
And you and the department agree that this is more appropriately something that finance obviously be taken up and it can be accomplished at that point in time. So
yes, we would agree with that, Senator.
Okay. Question, Senator Davis?
I was just going to ask, do they have the amendment now, because it ought to be before us. Will we plan on holding this bill or
no, we were not planning on holding the bill. We don't have the amendment before us as in written format, as I understand, no.
I see him shaking his head. That means you don't have it. Okay, thank
no,
you.
We don't.
All right.
Senator Stevens, you had further question?
No, I mean, I think we should get that as good a shape as we can before it goes on to the next body. Knowing what you have on your plate in finance, I'm not sure you're going to be rushing to this tomorrow. Maybe we've got time to do this properly. I mean, either way is fine.
Okay.
Right.
Well, maybe we'll get the administration up here and review the financial note. And it is an amendment regarding the fiscal note, is my understanding, or the fiscal aspect of it. No. Okay. Well, then I guess we'll. Okay. He'll explain that to us.
And we can, Senator Thomas. We can do a conceptual amendment, or we could just, if you wanted to hold it over, we could get a CS or an amendment drafted, and whatever your preference is. We just, there was a sort of time crunch and couldn't Couldn't get it drafted by today.
Well, do you want to allow the administration to explain the amendment to us then?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Jeans, if you'd come forward and put yourself on the record and review the fiscal note and then explain the potential.
Thank you, Mr.
Amendment.
Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. Mr. Chairman, first on the amendment, it doesn't change the fiscal note or the intent of the bill or the language in terms of the allocations. In other words, the 15 cents per lunch or the 35 cents per breakfast. The amendment will change where the statute is placed. Currently, as it's before you, it would be in the foundation program. It would be better placed in a section of statute that we call special programs, which is Title 1430. And I have asked our Department of Law AG to assist me in drafting that. It was not available this morning. But I'm comfortable with the committee moving the bill because it strictly is a section change. It doesn't change the body of the bill at all. So, and with that, we did update the fiscal note based on the change in the allocations for lunch and breakfast. And you can see that you have a number of years of analysis here. The program adjusts breakfast and lunch based on one quarter of the geographic differential, and you can see that clearly on the backup sheets where we've listed the breakfast differential as well as the lunch differential. And then the rates are also adjusted by CPI, by the Anchorage CPI. So you'll see as you move out in the years, for instance, the breakfast goes from 35 cents, the next year it's 36 cents, the following year, 37 cents. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And as I said, the fiscal note will not be changing. It's strictly the amendment is a change in where the law is placed in statute. That's all.
Okay, thank you for your explanation. This fiscal note, though, did come down from the original $400,000. Was that roughly the number?
Mr. Chairman, I think you're correct. It was somewhere around the $2 million mark.
Prior it was $2 million. Now it's $1.6 million. Yeah.
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you. let's take a brief at ease here. Let's see. We also have, we were trying to get through some other business today, but we do have one person online that I suspect, since we did not necessarily close public testimony the other day, but since we only have one, if there's no objection, we'd entertain that explanation of some from the from Chris Johnson, I believe, from the Alaska School of Nutrition. Is that okay with everybody? We take that testimony? Okay. Sure. Thank you. In that case, we would continue the public testimony. If Chris Johnson, are you on the line today?
Yes, I am, sir. My name is Chris Johnson. I currently serve as the president of the Alaska School Nutrition Association. You have spoken with Dean Hamburg, who is one of my past presidents and currently serves as our PP&L chair. And I just wanted to make myself available for any other questions that may have arisen from the committee in regards to Senate Bill 213.
Okay, well, we appreciate you being available. I don't think there are any questions. Check the room here to make sure. Any questions regarding? Okay, I think we had a fairly thorough review of that in the last meeting. So thank you for being here, though.
not a problem. Thank you for all that you do, and hopefully your weather's as nice as ours is today.
It's pretty nice here, actually, so thank you. With that, are there any other questions or comments regarding committee substitute for SB 213? We need to at least consider there be a conceptual amendment to place the in a different part of the statute. Somebody care to make that amendment? Try to make that amendment anyhow?
Oh, let's
see. Or should we just pass it with the understanding that that of what we already have?
Yeah, well, I think we need a better clarification of what the amendment is before I could move it or any.
What section of the? Yeah. He said 14 something. Other.
Take a brief at ease and.
Thanks.
record. All right. We have the committee substitute for Senate Bill 213 before us, and we have an amendment before us. We have Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number one.
Thank you. Is there objection? Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I'd ask the administration to explain it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record again, Eddie Jeans, Director of School Finance. What this amendment does is move the funding for this breakfast and lunch program into Statute 1437-60 and out of the foundation program. This moves it into a component that will be renamed State Support for Special Programs. And then it also inserts subject to appropriation. That language would be necessary because it's a standalone program. Under the foundation program, that language already exists. That's why it wasn't in the previous version. And that's it.
Okay. Are there questions? We understand this amendment is, as the sponsor of the bill is here, agreeable. Okay, very good. Thank you. What is the will of the body?
Oh, okay. Mr. Chairman, I would move CS Senate Bill 213 Version E from committee with individual recommendations and the company fiscal note as amended.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Is there objection? Hearing none, motion carries. We'll take a brief at ease while we... back on the record. Continuing on, the next order of business is to hear and discuss some more testimony concerning SB 224, a bill establishing post-secondary scholarships. The administration provided us with some amendments concerning the bill, and we have some people here with us today to talk to these amendments. I remind the committee we're in the early process of gathering information and will not act on the bill today. We want to first review the governor's amendments to the original Senate bill as the Senate CS was introduced the same day as those amendments were introduced in the House, and we now have those amendments. So we see the amendments as a step in the right direction, and I want to make sure that our understanding of those is correct and accurate. Changes, they do move towards more accomplishing more of what we believe is the goal of the bill. So we like that aspect of it, and we feel that it makes good sense to review those amendments in conjunction with the original bill. So we're looking at SB 224 at this point, and if the administration would please come forward and explain the two. Are there any other questions prior to having the administration come forward? Seeing none, Mr. Jeans, put yourself on the record, please, and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. Mr. Chairman, as you mentioned, these amendments were drafted for the original bill. So if you do adopt your CS, the line numbers will have to be revised and all that. But, Mr. Chairman, I believe that the First Amendment has to do with the grade point average and actually placing the lettering of the tiers into statute. So for example, an A average tier, the B average tier, and C average, and then the amendment goes on to define what the grade point average for each one of those tiers would be.
Okay. Has everybody had an opportunity to at least see where those insertions go? Are there any questions regarding amendment number one? Seeing none.
Maybe just
certainly, Senator Stevens.
Just to discuss this a bit. Grading is something that caused me great pain as a professor. And I guess I just need to question as you talk about what, in fact, average means. When we're saying that you have to be above average to get, do I have this right? So for C plus average tier is less than 3, but no less than 2.5.
That would be a C plus.
So that is what's right. So it's a C plus. So we're saying C is inadequate. Average is not. I mean, it sort of reminds me of Lick Will Be Gone, right? All the kids are above average, and are we stretching the truth here a little bit or not?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I understand your question. That it's based on a 4-point grading scale, and when the governor introduced the legislation, he wanted the lowest tier to be a minimum of a C plus average. And I think part of that also goes back to the increased rigor in the curriculum that that we're asking students to step up and take.
Thank you.
Other questions? Comments? Seeing none, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number two.
Amendment number two.
Mr. Chairman, do we need to move these amendments?
We want to do them one at a time as they come up and we have the explanation. That'd be just fine with me if you do, certainly.
Okay. I'm not sure we moved amendment one, did we?
Well, this is amendment number one, and also we are talking about them in relationship to the
original
bill, so maybe we don't need to move them at this point. I think we would just make sure we have a good understanding of them, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that
Thank
makes
you,
more
Mr.
sense.
Chairman.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you. Eddie, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second amendment offered by the administration is a needs-based component for the GPS program. And basically what this amendment does is after the student has earned the scholarship and we go through the FAFSA process and identify other grants or scholarships available to the student, then we would expect that the student and the family would contribute at least $2,000 annually to the student's education, and then whatever's left over, the state would kick in an additional 50% of the unmet need.
And it's my understanding that your other chart that you handed out,
yes, Mr. Chair,
deals with that in somewhat of an explanation, a general explanation. These are not specific numbers to each student, obviously, as they differ, but it gives us at least a general of idea.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The schedule you're referring to looks like this. And so what we've done is we've given some examples here of how the scholarship program would play out. For example, the very first one has an estimated cost at University of Alaska of $14,000. Assuming a student qualifies for the full amount of the Pell Grant, that would be roughly $5,700. If the student also qualified for the UA Scholars, they would generate another $2,750. If they were awarded the highest tier under the governor's scholarship program, that would generate $4,755 with an unmet need of $795. So in this case, a student wouldn't qualify for the needs base because we would expect them to pick up the first $2,000. If you took a look at the next example down, the cost of attending APU, annual cost somewhere around $4,500, using the same example of the Pell Grant, $5,700, an Alaska award of $6,000, housing award $4,000, the highest award under the governor's scholarship would be $4,700. They would have an unmet need of $14,000. You would subtract $2,000 from that, and then their needs scholarship would be $5,000, half of the unmet need. And that's the way the language would work for those programs.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This unmet financial need makes a lot of sense to base it on that. I understand that. Does this come from the documentation to arrive unmet need? Is that the FAFSA, or is this a separate documentation that is prepared by the schools, by the university, or by APU?
The document is the FAFSA.
It's all based on FAFSA?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That's why you need to finish your FAFSA for your daughter, Senator.
Got it done.
Other questions? Senator Meyer.
Yeah, I do have a question on the FAFSA. At what income level does FAFSA kick in? I mean, is it at $50,000, $100,000?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that.
Okay,
Senator.
Okay.
But every student prepares a FAFSA.
When they apply through the through post-secondary, you are required to fill out the FAFSA.
That is the scholarship application for
that is the scholarship. That's the, as I understand it, the federal scholarship application.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But that's the form that is used at our post-secondary institution or Alaska Post-Secondary Commission.
Right.
As well.
Right.
So
right.
We're just trying to piggyback on what's already there.
Right. We appreciate that. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, maybe for the purposes of folks maybe watching, can you explain the Pell Grant, what that is?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I'll do my best, but it's my understanding that the Pell Grant is a federal grant for low-income students, and the level of the Pell Grant is based on income, family income.
Mr. Chairman, if I may
follow. Certainly. Please do.
Okay, and then that of course, is based on your FAFSA that you've done.
Through the chair, that's correct.
Okay, so that gets back to my original question. At what level does the Pell Grant kick in at? I mean, is your income have to be below 100 or?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I'll have to get back to you on that.
I think it's 133% above the poverty level.
We will get the various levels for you.
Okay.
Yes.
That would be helpful in refining and also refining these numbers a little bit, maybe because I know we're going to get right down to wanting to understand exactly what the typical tuition at the university is. I realize it would be different, you know, but we could at least qualify it by those taking a full load, 15 credits or whatever. And there were some numbers already that showed what the credit hours were. But this includes, obviously, a wide variety of everything, the books, the tuition, obviously, as well as the housing, even.
Mr. Chairman, that would be my understanding, yes.
Okay.
And based on information your staff provided us this morning, we know we have to do some work with your staff to verify those numbers and refine them.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Good. Senator Stevens.
Yeah, just a question on the last one at AFTEC. Make sure I understand this. So, where does the family contribution of $2,000 come into that equation?
Through the chair, where that would come in is if the student, on the right-hand side, if the student did not qualify for a Pell Grant, they would have an unmet need of $5,500. You would subtract $2,000 from that, so you would have $3,500 left over, and the student would receive half of that unmet need.
Senator Meyer, you had a question?
I think so. thank you, Mr. Chairman. So for VOTEC school, we're contributing up to $3,000?
a maximum of 3,000, correct?
Okay. And why are we
limiting?
Why are we differentiating between BOTEC and regular university?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, there's actually two different scholarships in the governor's GPS bill. One is an academic scholarship that can be applied for at universities. The second is a career and technical scholarship, which you could apply for career or technical schools. Those schools would have to be approved by Department of Labor. Department of Labor would have published a list of approved schools for which students could apply to. Under the governor's bill, the curriculum requirements are the same: 4 years of math, 4 years of science, 4 years of English. But the course requirements between the two would be a little bit different. For example, a student going after a career technical scholarship, maybe one of the math classes would be a business class, business math, or accounting, that type of variance. But a student that completes the core courses under the scholarship program clearly would qualify for applying for a career and technical scholarship. I know the House had the similar concern as you, and they are proposing an amendment, as I understand it, that would allow a student under the career and technical program to apply for the highest tier of the scholarship program for the dollar amount, provided that they meet the criteria.
And Mr. Chairman, I think that's something that I would like to address as we progress here as well, because as you can see, the cost at Avtec is almost $16,000, whereas at U of A it's $14,000. So the costs are even higher in some cases at a VOTEC school versus the university. So, okay, thanks.
Senator Stevens. Thank you, Senator Meyer.
Yeah, I'm just trying, Eddie, to get my head around the issue of remedial education. Now, if a student were to come from a village where they simply were not, that classes were not available to them in math or science, they would simply not ever be able to get a GPA award. Is that true? Because they had remedial ed they needed to take.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, there is an alternative pathways provision in the governor's GPS bill that if a student was not afforded the opportunity to take the course requirements, the curriculum requirements, that they could apply to the department for an alternative pathway. That may be that they spend their first year at college on their own dime meeting the core course requirements. It could be that they take correspondence through over the summer through a university. But there are alternative pathways for those students that don't have direct access to the course requirements.
Now, would that extend the time that the scholarship was available to them into the future if they took 1 year out to do remedial? Because there's a timeline here.
Four years after graduation? The scholarship is available for 6 years after graduation.
So would, if you took a year off to do the remedial stuff, would that in fact be 7 years from graduation?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, the bill does not address that. I think that we would address the alternative pathway through the regulatory process, and it makes sense to give the students that additional year.
And just to, Mr. Chairman, just to close this issue of remedial education, some remedial education classes would be credited and some wouldn't. Could you talk about that, or all remedial education classes would be uncredited?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I don't want to say all remedial classes would be credited. The intent is that the students would meet the core curriculum requirements that are outlined in the statute. That could be achieved through taking university remedial type courses. You know, some school districts are going to tell you right now they only provide 2 years of math. Mm-hmm. That's the minimum that's required under state law right now. The department sees this bill more as a reform bill as much as anything to put the pressure on school districts to better prepare our students to enter post-secondary or the workforce or career training programs. So it is our hope that as this program evolves and moves forward, the university will be able to reduce the number of remedial courses that they have to offer because our students will be better prepared.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? I'm reading on page 2 of Amendment 2 and trying to make sure that we're addressing the way that things are subtracted out to get to the unmet need, because that the definition of unmet need has always eluded me a little bit. As I look at it, I was looking at some of the charts that we were producing, I was finding that I almost wanted to put unmet need in two places but find a different term for it. But the only term that's referenced in the bills is unmet need. So I was trying to just walk down and make sure that D, in fact, reflects exactly what you have done on your chart. And could you help me with that a little bit and make sure that's exactly what we're doing from the wording that we're subtracting from the students' allowable standard cost? This is line 7 of page 2 of attendance at the institution. All non-loan sources of financial support, including an expected family contribution, which we place that at $2,000. That's just a standard number. That's correct.
And, Mr. Chairman, that is correct. And the $2,000 is referenced under item C, line 4 through 5.
Right. Right. So I see that. And then all non-loan sources of financial support, including the expected family contribution, and all federal, which would be the Pell,
correct.
Mm-hmm. State, which would be UA Scholars Award, and at least this.
The state would be the GPS bill.
It would also be the UA Scholars Award, though, would it not?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if the UA Scholars goes under state or private scholarships, grants.
It's considered private. Someone behind you.
It's operated by the University of Alaska, so if you... I'm probably getting hung up on technicalities there.
It's quasi-state. I guess it's money that flows through from the state anyhow. But I
just say it's our understanding the UA Scholars would count.
Okay. Private scholarships are grants received by the student.
Correct.
Okay. And then we apply. See, that's where I got confused as to where it would appear to me that almost unmet need would be a number that was inserted between the last two red columns, just taking the first box, the 2750 and the 4755, that we would have unmet need there. But I'm not hung up on where that places, but it just seems to me that you reach the unmet need then, and then you apply to the unmet need the 50%. But, you know, I guess hopefully it all works out the same.
I believe it does, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Very good. Other questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly, Senator
yeah,
Meyer.
Yes, I'm still a little confused too. Under the APU, the housing award, what is that?
The housing award. Where did you get
they
that?
Have off their website, they have a.
Feel free to come forward and yeah.
Eddie's lonely up here.
Yeah, yeah.
He's flying.
Didn't tell he's getting a crick in his neck from looking over at.
For the record, my name is Marcy Herman. I'm the legislative liaison at the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. I got the housing award on the APU website. They have an academic award as well as a housing award for Alaska students. The housing award appears to be only for Alaska students applying at APU and being accepted. And as some of you may know, private universities have the ability to provide greater reduction in the cost of college attendance than public universities. So that's one way that they're able to offer additional assistance to students.
Okay.
And then, Mr. Chairman?
Certainly. Please continue.
And then also, again, on the Pell Grant, we're looking at, if I understand the Pell Grant, and I don't, unfortunately, well enough, It's a sliding scale based on your income. So we're probably looking at the lowest income here.
Yes, I just took the $5,700 is the maximum for families who would qualify for the most Pell Grant available, and that would be in the fall of 2010.
Okay.
So the 2010-2011 academic year.
Okay.
So that Pell Grant number will adjust with one's
yes.
income based on their FAFSA or whatever.
Okay. And if I could go back and speak to the your question about the income level for the mm-hmm. Pell Grant, it is based on income, but it's also based on your assets and interest income, dividends received, all types of income for a family, and also it is how many children you have attending college in that year. So like you and I have children the same age, we'll have one child in college, but in a couple of years, if you have another child going, you'll get credit for that. So it will change every year based on your family income. You must fill out the FAFSA every year to receive your expected family contribution. And it seems like it's about $60,000 or less that you would become eligible for the Pell Grant, but that's not a given. But that's about, they give you a general idea on their website, and it's about $60,000 and less. But you could get $100 in Pell Grant, which to some people is a lot of money and would be helpful. But you could also receive $5,700, just depending on your family assets and income.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
They have, you say the private universities have greater ability to adjust, but they also start at a higher rate anyhow. So it's
considerably, yes. Yeah. You're right.
It's very generous. Okay. Are there other questions? Anything else you wanted to add on amendment number two?
No, Mr. Chairman, that was it.
Okay, let me see here. I don't think I have anything else. Okay, well, we appreciate your explanation. We also would appreciate getting some of the adjustments made that we talked about and getting that information back to us. Senator Stevens.
Actually, can I ask one more question?
Certainly, go right ahead.
We didn't really, last time, talking about the six-year window. And I guess my question was, who cares how long it takes a kid to get a degree? I mean, why can you justify why it's 6 years?
Mr. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I think the reason for 6 years is that the statistics show that students will be more successful if they enter college immediately and pursue that degree. I think there's also financial reasons why you want to put a limit on it, because you don't want the state holding this obligation for somebody for 10 or 15 years. So
why not?
Why not?
Why not? I mean, why not in terms of we need to educate our workforce? We all agree to that. Whether someone drops out for 4 years to enter the Coast Guard and then goes back to college, I guess I just don't quite understand the logic of this.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, there are provisions that allow for an extension for those that enter the military service. So you could get an extension for things like the Coast Guard. I think part of the reason for the six-year limit is being able to track all these people that are eligible for these grants and for how long and what the state's contribution is and all that. So it may be more managerial than anything. But if you want it to be 10 or 15 years, we can make it work.
I'm sorry, Mr. I'm just trying to find out what the thinking process is that led us to a six-year limit.
The real intent is to move students down their academic career and to keep moving forward. We also know that the statistics show that students that don't continue with their higher education are less likely to complete their higher education. That's the reason why we were looking at the 6 years. There's a real intent to keep moving students forward.
That 6 years also apply to vocational technical, or is there a different provision for that?
The 6 years applies, but I think it's only for the grant or the scholarship is available for 2 years. So once you start it, you need to continue.
Right. Other questions? Senator Meyer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Jeans, I know you're here just to talk on the two amendments, but Wednesday we talked a little bit about making some changes to the required courses.
Right.
You know, we had the two tiers. One was more heavily oriented towards math, and the other one was gave you an option of foreign language. And did you have any thoughts or comments on that? The commissioner was here, and I saw smoke coming out of his ears, and I wanted to give him an opportunity to speak, but we didn't have time. Can you give us any thoughts on that?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, we're still looking at the amendment that was provided to you on Monday or whenever it was. We are willing to work with the legislature to amend that to include some foreign languages. The intent here is to maintain the academic rigor so that students are successful when they leave high school, no matter what they decide to pursue, if it's university, career technical training, or even just entering the workforce. We want students better prepared. So as long as we maintain some level of high academic rigor, we're ready and willing to work with you on making amendments to adjust some of your concerns.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Senator Stevens.
Eddie, could you just talk about where the money's coming from? The governor at one point was talking about it coming out of the CBR. I'm not sure if that's the case now. Do you have any indication of where the funds are coming from, proposed to come from?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, the initial deposit into the fund, as I understand it, is in the language section in the operating budget, and it's a GF appropriation in the current year.
At this time, GF.
At this time.
Thank you. Regarding the discussion of academic rigor, we also believe that you need to maintain academic rigor if you're going to reward folks, but we believe that academic rigor is different in different students' minds as well. You know, not everybody's going to be an engineer, which has been some of the discussion, so therefore academic rigor in the pursuit of a degree in philosophy or a degree in some other type of arts may certainly be very rigorous as well. So we just want to let you know that, and I think you already know how we feel somewhat about that. So we just don't believe that math is necessarily and also believe in, to some degree, that it may be a discouraging factor for students that are interested in a different track, that if they are required to do that, they may not necessarily aspire to continue in school if they think that, depending on their ability to pay, too. So I guess it's all somewhat relative in that case. So, other questions?
Mr. Chairman, just one other thing. Again, speaking on the academic rigor, I think the concern, too, is that some of these courses may be difficult for the folks in the rural schools, in EEC, NOTAC, New Stoyac, whatever. But the commissioners assured me that if they can't meet these courses that we're asking for, that he'll review them on a case-by-case basis for a waiver. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, that is correct, and that is a provision in the governor's GPS bill, is an alternative pathways model. And that's where the student and family could apply to the department for an alternative pathways to meet the requirements of the GPS bill. But I have to say, it is our intent not to lower the standards to qualify for the scholarship.
Okay, very good. Other questions? Hearing none, we had a couple of people online, but I believe they were only there to listen in case we had any specific questions at this point. So with that, as the hour is 9 o'clock and there's other meetings beginning at this point in time, we would call them, end the meeting at
Before
this point.
End the meeting, I'd like to say something.
Certainly.
Mr. Chairman.
Certainly.
First, I want to stop thank all of you for the questions that you've asked concerning the two amendments that came from the administration. And I appreciate the overview that we got. But if we're going to go back and deal with this, I expect that we need to have Diane Barron here. We need to have the commissioner here or somebody else to talk about some of the concerns that was brought up by both senators that asked the questions today. I don't know what's the schedule for us to continue on this, but we have looked at his amendments. We haven't said that we want to accept those amendments, or we might want to accept them with some adjustment, or we might want to take them where they are. But I think we need to hear from some other people before we make up our mind to do that. And then we still have to deal with the proposed CS that you
That's correct.
Brought to us. We haven't even got to that level. So
that's right.
But at the time when we do that, we need to have people here to answer the questions that need to be answered.
That's right, and we're looking forward to doing that next week. So we'll be reviewing this obviously next week, and we're going to try and put together kind of a little bit better order of how things are at this point in time, and get all this information, some more that we're seeking, put together so that you can review it in advance of the meeting. And we'll take any advice of folks that you would like to have here to ask questions.
Well, I just named off.
I know you did.
I
know.
I trust Eddie fine. He's a finance man. He knows all that. He does it. Don't want to put him on the spot to answer things that somebody else ought to be here to
Certainly.
Answer.
I understand. Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, the intent then is to continue with this on Monday, or I'm trying to remember, did we have a bill we're going to hear?
I think we're open, or at least would be able to do some of it, I believe, anyhow. We're getting a nod from the staff, yes, that we have time.
Okay. And I do recall that we had a bill we were going to hear next week, maybe
Friday.
Next Friday. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Okay. With that, we'll.